Welcome to another episode of One Another Marriage with Dr. David and Teresa Mabry. In this podcast, our whole agenda, effort, things that get us excited are strengthening marriages so that you can have greater fulfillment in yourself and a greater impact on the world around you. So we're excited you've joined us again, hopefully, or for the first time. Welcome if it's the first time.
Right. So today, in our episode today, we are going to be talking about expectations. Expectations are good, and we're going to be discussing how to maybe realign your expectations, and not necessarily using the word to lower expectations, but that there is great marital satisfaction when you have marital expectations. Yeah. So that's what we're going to be unpacking and discussing today. Quite the topic.
Quite the topic. And we see this, and the reason we're dealing with this is we see this an awful lot.
Yes.
And we've experienced it.
Sure.
Not only in our over 30 years of being together, but also as we work with couples. So
right.
This is...
Well, I think it would be like a mess for us to say, you have always met my expectations.
I thought I have. I thought I have always been this model husband.
Absolutely. 30 years still just going
wedded
strong.
Wedded bliss.
Yes.
30 years.
So no, I mean, we would be remiss if we were trying to have the listeners think that you and I have always had our expectations met with each other. And and yes, while we have practical experience from our own marriage, we also have experience in coaching the couples that we've coached and just in our speaking with couples, whether it's at a workshop or a seminar, and digesting material that we've read on the subject of marriage, other marriage educators out there. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
This impacts everybody. And to say that, to sit there and say, well, I've always had my expectations met, that's not true.
Well, and we even experienced it over the weekend. And speaking of which, we hope everybody had a wonderful Independence Day.
Yeah.
And hopefully you all got an extra day off yesterday, as many people did, Monday the 5th. And and perhaps this is one of the first things you're doing for your work week is you've downloaded or you've tuned in to One Another Marriage, and we appreciate you doing so. But it was fun to get together with family and to hang out. We had a slight unexpected and pleasant turn because we were gonna host actually at our house, but one of our children said, "Hey, come over to our house."
And yes, we got invited. We got the invite.
We got the invites, and it was a lot of fun.
It was and a neat opportunity for one of them to be able to host the family event.
What a cool phase! And I know that many of you out there listening, this seems very far off. Of like your children, maybe even toddlers, and you're thinking to yourself, "Will they invite me over one day?" And let us be proof that they will.
They invite you right now to come play with them, like on the floor, or to use your imagination to come to their house,
or
which may be just in the closet right now.
Yeah, that's right.
But
or mommy, watch this. It's like, okay, I've watched you like stand on one leg a million times. Do I have to watch you again?
Yes. No. But yes, that toddler or elementary or teenager that, you know.
And with as teenagers, it's more of stop watching me, mom and dad. Stop watching me. Leave me alone. But
yeah, so it is a cool phase to be in, and that we had one of our kids host the event, which was wonderful. Yeah. So
yeah, great times, great times and fun. And so,
right.
Well, hey, we come to that point of every show when we're talking about puzzles.
Yeah.
And the puzzles are designed to enhance, encourage intimacy between couples by deepening conversation on simple things. You may do, this is intended to be a daily or a regular connecting point. We use puzzles, but we've also used in the past a high and a low within couple conversations. So we simply want to model it each time we have a podcast. But ultimately, this is whenever we do this, it's to encourage all of you out there, have something that each day you're connecting.
Right.
More than just, well, number one, don't ignore one another. But secondly, so it's more than just business items.
Right.
And so.
And so, you have the puzzle today.
I do have a puzzle today.
I'm excited to hear what this is going to be.
Yes. And it's for me, interesting puzzle. It seems, okay, so here's my puzzle, hon.
Okay.
Is that it seems lately that I've gotten, and at first I was hesitant to even share this on the podcast because I thought it's, because I'm going to talk about creepy internet stuff. And so on Facebook.
Yes.
My puzzle is this. Why am I getting like an uptick, an extreme uptick of friend request from people I do not know? And when I say people, I want to be specific and say that I'm getting an extreme uptick of friend request from supposed women of a certain ilk.
The female.
I'll say that they, in other words, their profile pics on that request look pretty suggestive.
They are suggestive.
Inviting to certain people who would want to click on that to whatever.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just, it's really annoying in a way. It's like, okay. And I'm getting like 2 to 3 a day. And so my brain goes to further on my puzzle. My brain goes to, what in the world have I clicked on? Like, what causes? Because I don't, I don't connect with porn. I don't connect with things that, like, I'm like, why would I be getting people? And these are women that, just to be clear, they're inviting to porn.
They're so inviting.
It's
to,
like, why am I getting these invites?
Right.
For now. What helped me, though, is I was talking to a friend the other day about the same puzzle, and they said they've had an uptick of these as well. It seems to be like the algorithm, but why? But here's the question. What, well, I've been on Facebook for many years now.
Right.
Why all of a sudden it seems more? That's that's what my puzzle is. Why is there an uptick? And here's the, I'm convinced of. They're like Russian bots or something like that. They're just, they're, some of them may be real people.
Right.
But some of them are, but I think some of them are just, they're trying to spam you.
They're just trying to spam you. Right.
Yep.
But more than likely, it's just, they're now using the platform of Facebook, and it's not like you haven't gotten these before, but you're right there. You have shared of late, just, you know, every day, it seems like you're like, oh man, I got another one, So,
And furthermore, when I go to decline on there, I see their, just out of curiosity, I see who are their other friends. Like, and I do check to see, okay, maybe this is someone I forget because the picture isn't obvious that it's spam. I'm thinking, do I know this person? And so I go look at friends list because chances are I will not become friends with you unless I know that I've met you for sure, or you are a friend of a friend. And it's like, oh, okay, they're acquaintance and I now remember who they are. But I checked the list and all the profile pics of the friends are middle-aged men who, so there's a reason for that. So my, here's my question for my puzzle for you is, am I the only one here? Or is like as a guy, or do you also get friend requests from a lot of people that you don't know or that seem like spam?
Right. I get a few. I haven't gotten nearly as many, I think, that you have, but over the years, I think it's just once again, it's just targeting men, you know, to, hey, click on me, click on this picture, you know, type of deal. But of late, I have had a few more guys requesting, And it just, yeah. And they're kind of from all over, but mm-hmm. once again, no mutual friends or anything like that. And so it's like, it's, yeah, it's just weird. Cause it's like, wait a minute, why all of a sudden am I receiving these as well? It's like, I don't know. It's like Facebook has just put in a new algorithm for it, or they've put in, or it truly is just spams getting in. So.
It's like the floodgates have been opened.
Right.
Are these men showing their tight abs?
No, they are not.
Do they have shirts on?
They do. They do have shirts on. That's the funny thing about the difference between who you're getting your friend requests from and who I am getting my friend requests from. Mine seem to be widowers.
Oh.
They are.
Yeah.
They're and usually in that like mid-50s kind of range.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I just kind of like, I look at it, I kind of laugh, I delete it, and I block, and I move on. Mm-hmm. But it is frustrating, though, that we have to just do that, like, constantly. It's like there's a constant necessity mm-hmm. in staying on top of your social media to block. I mean, it's the same thing with getting, you know, the scam calls that come in.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, or getting, you know, like the other day I got a text. And sometimes it's like, wait a minute, did you like transpose a number and you really think I'm someone else? But like from all kinds of groups, you know, mm-hmm. like, and all of a sudden I get a text that comes in and I'm like, what? And I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
And then you got to block and you got to like jump through 8 hoops in order to like try and stop one thing. And that is frustrating.
I am not interested at all in fact, I've said before, if it weren't for like the work that we do, mm-hmm. the podcast and our marriage work, our work with couples,
mm-hmm.
I would, and my work with Barclay College, I probably wouldn't be on social media at all. I'm not that interested in it. And that's coming from an extrovert. I really enjoy people and being with, but sometimes it grows tired.
Right.
It grows tired. And things like the unwanted, unsolicited request. And I know they're phishing. Mm-hmm. I know that. And I know it's
well, thanks, hon, for not accepting those friends.
I actually, when I reject them, I just message them and say, why don't you become friends with my wife? No, I would never send them your way.
Right.
Do I want to engage them. Now, I've heard of, day, someone said that they actually,
respond.
They respond and engage with the spammer, mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, not interested.
Yeah,
you have no idea who that person is on the other end. So
absolutely.
So regardless, well, talking about expectations, I have an expectation that Mark Zuckerberg would stop sending people my way. Come on, Mark.
I know, because we know you're listening.
Yeah, Mark.
Whether you're officially listening or.
We know you're
listening
out there.
In. So
we know
that's
you're
awesome.
Out there. Stop sending people our
Stop
way.
Stop sending it.
So that's my puzzle for today.
Gotcha, gotcha.
And hey, expectations. Here's what I have to say about this.
This is not going to be like the book Great Expectations.
Although this podcast is called Great Expectations today, and you probably saw that on the title as you clicked on it today, folks. Or if you caught us on our social media promo piece,
mm-hmm.
but. It's been on our heart for some time about this issue of clear, fair, realistic expectations.
Right.
Right. For couples and for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to start with a story for ourselves,
story time.
Story time with Dr. David. we faced this just in a simple way recently because.
Yes. Recently.
Yeah. This last Saturday, we had a lazy Saturday, which is wonderful. And maybe lazy is not the right word. Relaxing Saturday. We went and met some wonderful friends.
Right.
Shout out to Wayne and Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And, we had a brunch with them.
Mm-hmm.
But, so to set it up a little bit. You have to get up early every day of the week.
Every day I set an alarm. That's right.
And up at 5:30. So when you get an opportunity to sleep in,
you do not set an alarm.
And not too much detail, but in our marriage, I I have typically in the past been a later night and earlier morning, kind of a shorter night sometimes.
Right.
You enjoy your sleep. Like you usually like to be up late and sleep later.
Right.
I have gone.
But I don't do that currently.
That's right. I have gone to bed a little earlier and then get up earlier. I like the morning time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now lately I've been up late, up early kind of thing. And so I'll wake up early even on a Saturday and because I just can't sleep anymore. But
and I look forward to getting just a little bit more sleep than usual, which I mean anything past 5:30 is getting to sleep in. So
yeah, exactly. So we had to be at this brunch at 10.
Right.
And why don't you take it from there? So with our story of clear expectations, you had an expectation.
I said to you the night before, I said, hey, what time should we be leaving? And you said, I think by 9:30. And I said, yeah, I think that's good, 9:30. And I did not tack on, hey, by the way, if I'm not up by like 8:45, like come up and nudge me, right? Or come up and like wake me up. Now, a lot of times I am awake. I'll wake up sometimes like around 7, but then I'll fall back asleep. And then I may wake up at 8 and then I'll fall back asleep a little bit. So my body is kind of kicking in, but mentally I know today I did not have to set an alarm. And that makes me very excited, right?
Yeah.
And so...
And I'm sure a lot of folks out there resonate with that.
Right? And I felt really excited to know, even like getting to sleep till 8:30, 8:45, to just be able to just kind of like relax, that would be great. So what happened is you got up at your regular time and left the bedroom and you were, you know, out doing other things in the yard. I don't know what you were doing, putzing around or whatever. But but I heard you on the back deck and that was at like 9. And all of a sudden I'm looking at my phone. I'm like, oh no, it's 9 o'clock. Like, and we're going to leave at 9:30. And so I felt a little bit rushed. And then when you came up to change, you know, then I was like, hey, like you could have come and woke me up like at 8:45.
Yeah. And in my mind, I'm seriously thinking, well, she has this hand, because it does cross my mind of, well, I wonder when Teresa's going to get up. And also trying to be aware of of the clock.
Sure.
And I had it in my mind that I kind of have in my brain, like, well, I'm going to grab Teresa when it's like, I'm going to give her as long as possible and grab her. But I'm confident she'll get up on her own. So in my brain, you're a grown adult, you'll get this. You're right. Like, I didn't want to also disturb you. I didn't mean that as a negative way, but it's like disturb you in your sleep. But you thought, David, wake me up.
Yeah, by having the conversation of when we would need to leave and for you to just go, okay, if I don't hear her stirring by this time, I should probably just run upstairs and make sure. Because, I mean, I've still got to get myself kind of awake. I got to get dressed. I got to get, you know, like, I need to tick through some things. And so when that didn't happen, it wasn't like I wasn't super, super frustrated. But I do remember just kind of like saying it kind of like, hey, you know.
Yeah.
Might have been.
You had.
Expecting you to come and nudge me a little bit more.
Right.
And so then when we got back home after the fact, we kind of ran through this because we were discussing expectations. We were discussing what we were going to be talking about on the podcast anyway. Mm-hmm. And we had been, there was a book that I had been reading through that chapter, and it was actually talking about expectations. And one of the sentences was, expectations are only problematic when they are misaligned. And the example was, I thought you were going to pay the bills. So there's this misalignment, right? And so I had a misalignment that I thought you were going to come and make sure I was up and moving by 8:45.
And I thought...
And you thought...
You would just get up on your own.
That I would... Right.
And that's right. And so
I would have went ahead and set my alarm or gotten up on my own or done whatever. And so we had this discussion about how I should have clearly communicated better the night before when we talked about what time we needed to leave. And also I was helping unpack it for you that... for this particular one, I didn't feel as stressed because A, we were going to be heading, I still had 30 minutes to travel.
Yeah.
And then B, the whole purpose was to meet and eat together. So I didn't have to worry about trying to eat something real fast or, you know, mm-hmm. get too ready real fast.
And mind you, here's the thing, just a real quick pause or connecting point to this. You and I did not have a fight over this. We didn't have a shouting match. We didn't even get angry with one another. You had simply stated, "Hey, I thought you'd wake me up." And in my mind, I did not think for an instant like, "Well, I can't believe she just asked me that." I was just like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you would get up on your own." But I mentioned that because I know that many of our number one, we haven't always handled misaligned expectations that calmly in the past.
No, absolutely not.
Many of our one another couples out there, we know that it depends on the severity or how big the mm-hmm. expectations are, the unmet right. expectations, misaligned expectations are, but also the mood of the moment. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
right.
But sometimes these misaligned expectations can become really knock down drag out fights. They can become major conflict
sure.
and can really drive a wedge between all the way to just kind of like, I'm a little perturbed about this, or I'm really put off by this. And so it doesn't, what we would encourage is moving, and that's what we'll get to here eventually, is moving more, aligning your expectations more clearly. And then when they do become misaligned, because they will, no matter what, it's thinking through how those cause, how you handle the conflict that comes from that.
Right.
And handling it in a positive way. So for us, I felt pretty proud of this moment for us because I felt like we communicated kind of our expectation differences, our misaligned expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And then we kind of, I have better information because we always say, conflict resolution, you have to have problem understanding skills
mm-hmm.
and then problem solving skills.
Right.
For me, there was a problem understanding skill that went into play because I understand more clearly the dynamic of the morning. You expected or hope that I kind of throw an assist on waking up.
Right.
And that would not disturb you as right. I thought it would, but you're like, no, that would be helpful when here's a time frame for it. And so yeah, that's, I think I wanted to connect it real quick with conflict.
Right. Well, because anytime for like this particular example and for a lot of other examples that couples have, is that now you've also, you've added in a stressor of that, mm-hmm. right? So I felt like we did a good job on handling it, but like it, let's say that truly, you know, I just would have went back into a deep sleep, which has happened sometimes, and you wouldn't have come to the room until 9:20, and now we're supposed to leave in 10. Now there probably yes. would have been a little bit more stronger
yeah.
discussion on this, mm-hmm. or you would have seen more of my stress coming out because now I would have really felt
the skunk.
Oh my gosh, yeah, the skunk. Plus we have people that will be waiting,
yeah.
and so now that even adds more like to the moment. But
yep.
because of the way it just kind of played out yesterday, I wasn't quite as stressed because I didn't have to try and eat. I didn't have to be like, mm-hmm. this wasn't a dress up affair. It was just, you know, kind of more of a
casual.
Brunch date. So like, and then also knowing that I still had time in the car to just kind of like come alive a little bit more. Right. So all yeah. of that played into it. Now, if I was expected to be the driver, if I was expected to, you know, like da, 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 da. Yeah. So,
now,
so that adds stress in when we have these types of situations, and then, oh man, buddy, if you would have been like, well, I just would have assumed you're a grown adult, you would have gotten up on your own. Whoa.
Now if that, I was snarky,
if you
with
were snarky
you,
in any yeah, way, that yeah. would have just,
Yeah. If I had now. Challenged it, because that goes more towards just a disrespectful or
yeah.
And we go back to Gottman's, listen to last
right.
week's podcast. We go to the Four Horsemen
right.
where there is a discounting of a criticizing
yeah.
of and a cutting and a, down
right, a of contempt,
a yeah. contempt for your partner. Right. Now, let me throw another wrinkle in. What if the night before you had clearly stated, hey, could you make sure that I'm up? If I don't make it up, you make sure that I'm up till 8:45. Mm-hmm. And then if I failed that expectation that was communicated right. clearly, how do you think that would go over?
Yeah. Well, once again, if it would have been like 9:15 or something like that, because you lost track of time and then you're running in, obviously I would take it for what it's worth that you lost track of time. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And that you're telling me, I'm so sorry. I was supposed to come in here and I lost track of time and now it's 9:15. So now I know that you at least you're trying to like not apologize, but you're showing like, hey, it was remorse. My fault. Remorse. Yeah. It's my fault. My bad. Is there anything I can do to mm-hmm. help, you know, help get ready or whatever, something like that. Yeah. And so that diffuses that yeah. kind of like owning, emotional response.
Yeah, taking responsibility.
Because you owned it. If you just kind of are like, oh, whoops, forgot what time it was.
Or said,
I'll be in the car.
Trying to prove disagreement by like, well, I know you requested it, but you're a grown woman. You right. need to wake yourself up. That would be unhealthy right. that communication would be unhealthy. Expectation. Right. So, but I think that, yeah, it does make a difference though when something is clearly communicated, and that's some of the takeaway to folks. Listen, mind reading is not a healthy practice, or
even
it's
after
not
all these
anyhow.
Years.
Yeah, so because
it did cross my brain, like, well, David, you've known me long enough, like you, mm-hmm. you've done this before, where mm-hmm. you've come in over the years or whatever. So, like, but once again, I just can't assume that
that's right.
that you will, and you can't assume that mm-hmm. that I set the alarm on my phone, because mm-hmm. yeah. by golly, I don't want to. I don't want to set that alarm.
I don't want to.
I don't
it.
Want that alarm well, going off on me.
There are some. What's interesting with all this is that there are some things that I know I can count on you for. You can count on me for, because there's a consistency,
right.
a trust, a like. Well, yeah, I know David's got this, or I know that Teresa's got this, but there's those certain things that's like a misaligned expectations where you think, mm-hmm. oh, my partner has this, and they really don't have it. Mm-hmm. And so,
right.
so yeah, so what are some other takeaways and some discoveries that we have? I think that we've learned an awful lot from, don't you have some thoughts from, like Dr. David Olson, he created the Prepare Enrich material that we use, and right. He's written about this, right?
Yes. And so so while we talked about the expectations are problematic when they're misaligned, they're also problematic when they're unreasonable. And like their example they gave was, you should always make me happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, but the crazy thing is we've heard that come out of people's mouths before. Mm-hmm. Like, and so when we do coach our couples, we utilize the Prepare Enrich assessment, which mm-hmm. you just alluded to. And there's always this idealistic distortion, or yeah. the whole concept of the rose-colored glasses, right? And there's a lot of those STEM statements on there about, like, you know, every new thing I've ever learned about my partner, you know, makes me happy or whatever. And
idealistic right? distortion, just to be super clear with sure. folks, that's your... You're distorted in your ideal. You and rose colored glasses mm-hmm. is a term you use. Mm-hmm. It's when you look at your relationship or your partner mm-hmm. in a higher way than what you really should. It's unrealistic kind of
right.
view that you have.
Well, and what they say is the majority of new couples distort their view of their relationship in a positive direction because of faulty expectations.
And they, just to find that for the folks, I mentioned Olson, but who else
yep.
is they?
So Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott and yes. Dr. David Olson, and they wrote a book to help coaches, counselors, people who are working with marriages, and lay leaders, pastors, you know, social workers, people like that, mm-hmm. and just helping them. And they also are discussing the two different types of assessments that they are familiar with, mm-hmm. which they each created individually. And so for this chapter, though, it was discussing the expectations. And when those expectations are faulty expectations, they're misaligned or they're unreasonable, as well as when couples distort the view of their relationship with the rose-colored glasses spectrum, they're usually distorting it in the positive direction mm-hmm. because they have these faulty expectations, like, you will always make me happy.
Yes.
And so, like, while we've had couples who are like, well, yes, I mean, they will always make me happy. And you and I sit there and we're like, well, let's unpack that for just a mm-hmm. little bit, because just like our expectation, I wasn't like totally upset with you because you didn't come in and wake me up. But that would be one instance where I'm kind of like, you know, like I wasn't exactly like
less
happy
than ideal.
With you. But,
less than ideal, but.
But the whole premise that I will always make you happy, you will always make me happy. Well, first of all, you put an always with it. And whenever mm-hmm. we use the words always or never, oof, those are difficult expectations to meet anyway.
And how many
because
folks,
that's 100%
yeah.
all the time.
Well, the myth here, right, is that people, individuals in a relationship who feel like, but if I don't feel that way, if I'm not that convinced,
right.
then I'm minimizing the relationship. I'm underplaying.
The bad one
it's
here.
Like, if I say I, that I, right. I won't always love or that I, oh, it's like, I that means that I have lesser than. It's like mm-hmm. no, let's be realistic about expectations and let's be realistic that your relationship, your marriage can be super satisfying and fulfilling and
right.
it really can be all that it can be without saying that you always will be quote unquote
right.
in love or that you'll always be fulfilled by your partner will meet
absolutely.
All of your needs
right.
ever. That's really unrealistic and unhealthy.
Yes. Well, and it's because that's that emotion. It's driven by emotion and feeling, right? Mm. That romantic love kind
yeah.
of thing. Because and so what we talk about with couples is yes, there's romance. There can be romance. There is love, but love isn't always romantic. Mm. There are going to be moments where you will have a day where you're like, well, I kind of like you today. I don't know if I'm in love with you today, but I mm-hmm. like you today, right? And that's just realistic because of life and mm-hmm. things. And so what they were talking about with the assessments and like...
Which, by the way, can I, real side note, just to be clear with folks, Olson has given us the Prepare and Rich assessment, mm-hmm. and the Parrots have offered the Symbis
curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Symbis is another assessment that's similar to Prepare and Rich, just
right.
so the folks have some blanks filled in here
right.
as you're walking through this.
And so basically they were talking about marital satisfaction is actually really linked to expectations. And so at the beginning, when I was given like the episode summary, we were talking about how we want to help couples recalibrate their expectations or realign their expectations, because we should have expectations, but we probably don't want to use the wording of like lowering your expectations mm-hmm. because
yeah.
we don't want people to just be like, well, you know, I guess if they just go work their job and come home. There you mm-hmm. go. I'll be happy.
Which we've used.
That's a really low expectation.
we've used in the past lowering your expectations, but I think what we meant.
What we meant
is really what we've.
Right.
We see what Olson and Parrots have said, which is more of alignment and.
Yeah. Recalibrating. Or realigning.
Expectations.
Them.
And so.
Because.
Although sometimes it feels like a lowering, because it's
right.
kind of like you expect way too much mm-hmm. of your partner mm-hmm. and you need to mm-hmm. dial it back mm-hmm. because it's hurtful for your relationship to expect them to do A through Z mm-hmm. when you really need to say A through M is really sufficient.
Right. And the research will show by studies that are done, I mean, you can just look up like marriage studies in general and find research. The research will show that that every marriage should have expectations. Mm-hmm. We should have some expectations. Like, just like you shared earlier, like, there are things that I trust you with. I've expected that you would provide for our family, and you have, and I've trusted you with that as well. And so I don't think that that's an unreasonable expectation, right? Mm-hmm. And so, so we should have some expectations, and when we have expectations, we should be looking to have some reasonable high standards in our, for those expectations. Just like, yes, I expect, unless something happened where physically you were unable to work a job or provide for the family, there's that expectation, I feel, that has been reasonable for our marriage where you have worked.
Yeah. And it's, and I think so, some of that, for me, hon, that also communicates accountability.
Absolutely.
Because, like, I know that you expect me to be home at night and not out bar hopping.
Not out bar hopping, exactly.
That you
stop,
expect me
stop
to...
Stop accepting these friend requests from these crazy women, hon. Stop it.
I know. Well, that's maybe a more practical, because I'm obviously not going to go bar hopping, but it is
you, more practical.
You have, and you have an expectation, and there's an accountability that I'm not going to go surf porn.
Exactly.
But you're like...
And you're not accepting all these different requests from all these different women, obviously.
That's right.
And that you keep me in the loop.
Yeah. So, and you expect me to partner with caring for the household, cleaning up, caring for the outdoor as well as the indoor. So we're partnership. So it's, in other words, I don't just come home, or I kind of clock out of my 9 to 5 mm-hmm. and I'm sitting here going, well, that's your job to mm-hmm. take care of all this around here. But the accountability, and in the same way, like, accountability to you is like,
to me, right.
That, hey, you know what? We have a partnership here, and this house is not going to take care of itself. So we each have our roles mm-hmm. and responsibilities within the management of the household. And that's accountability to be responsible.
Right.
So there's a good aspect of this.
Right. Which is a reasonably high expectation.
It makes us better.
And but that was their whole point.
Yes.
And that's the whole point of what you and I have seen. And it's the whole point of our personal relationship. It mm-hmm. does make us better.
Well, we go back to the research as well. And I know it's stronger for men than it is for women, but it's not absent for women. And that is men, there is specific research that would point to men are to become better behaved, more accountable, so they live longer because they take less risk. Mm-hmm. There's less abuse of alcohol, abuse mm-hmm. of drugs. There's better behavior when one is married on mm-hmm. statistically
yep.
across the board. And so that goes back to those properly aligned expectations hold individuals in a relationship accountable mm-hmm. to healthy behaviors, and we are better people for
right.
it. That's good.
Right. And there's no shortage of expectations either, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have to work with a couple who's premarital to only get the expectations. Now, when mm-hmm. you work with premarital couples, there's a lot of, mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of expectations, but it's helping them. Once again, that's where the prepare and enrich assessment is helpful, because it does measure that kind of like idealistic distortion, mm-hmm. the rose-colored glasses, right? But there should be expectations. There should be expectations of how you're going to spend holidays, expectations of friendships, expectations about money, clear communication, roles and careers. I mean, all these things come mm-hmm. into play with expectations, but it's how you communicate them with each other, because we can have assumptions for what we think, and we don't even realize that we've had these assumptions until the expectation is unmet.
Yeah.
And when it's unmet, all of a sudden it's like the light bulb goes on in your head, like, well, why didn't you do it this way? And it's all of a sudden, oh, maybe well, I just expected you to do it. And then the other person is like, well, you never told me that.
Hmm.
And it's like, and so it's, we have these like expectations that we don't even realize we've placed on the other person. But as soon as the ball's dropped, all of a sudden it's like, ooh, so there it is.
So some takeaway for folks would be, this can happen naturally for you as a couple.
Right.
So naturally it would be bringing up, and like we talk about daily communication or mm-hmm. daily touching base,
mm-hmm.
make it one of those regular communication pieces where you actually turn and ask the question,
mm-hmm.
hey, what are you, especially if you're early in your marriage, what do you expect here? Or what do you hope for here? What are your preferences here? Learn to ask that question. And then folks, I sure hope that you're both listening to it in the relationship. Make it reciprocal,
meaning that
both of you are asking it. But if you are listening to this as an individual within a relationship, be patient and still take that initiative to mm-hmm. stay, to ask first. And then when your partner answers, if they don't ask back, you could say, can I share my perspective on that as well? And now that's more of a, you can do that more informally,
mm-hmm.
but on a more formal, if you want to take a date night, and I loved your list there, hun, that you went through a few really good things. If there are, maybe discuss a certain topic of, hey, this is the way my family did it. This is mm-hmm. my preference. These right. are my preferences. What are yours? What was your family background? And whether you've been married a short time or a long time, the key is set a time that the two of you can find topics that are clarity.
Right.
And then when you learn to communicate well on those topics in general, then you come to more informal communication, like what we gave our example at the very beginning of our discussion on this. And that is, hey, you really wanted me to get you up. I right. didn't do it. So so that's more informal. So it's,
right.
Folks, it's a dance.
Right.
So learn to dance without stepping on one another's toes. But sometimes you do step on one another's toes during the dance.
So, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Just don't change partners.
Don't
keep your partner. Right.
Keep your partner and learn to dance with them.
Learn to dance
as time goes.
Well, and another practical list of expectations that you and I have tried to do over the years, and we kind of found ourselves in this the other day, was over the holiday weekend, we just took a day to just have downtime and I even said to you, I just almost feel guilty, like, because I felt like I needed to be doing something else. But when we've had those days, a lot of times we do the game of, I want this for today, right? And we talk mm-hmm. about our expectations. And sometimes it's like, hey, you know what I want to do for today? I want to be able to sit in the backyard and read a book. I mm-hmm. want to be able to not eat on schedule. I want to be able to not have to cook. Mm-hmm. And I want to take a nap. Yeah. You know, what would you like to do for today? And then like we kind mm-hmm. of banter back and forth, just listing out what we may want for the day. And when we've done that, it allows the other person to understand. It's just like a puzzle. Mm-hmm. It allows the other person into your brain to just go, okay, so those mm-hmm. are some expectations for the day, which means that when we've done that, the person, like you, wouldn't throw in there, you know, after we've listed it out and all of a sudden I'm reading my book and you come out and you're like, hey, come with me and let's go clean the garage.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't on my original list. And then therefore mm-hmm. it's like, okay, so it's helping each other once again understand the expectations, making mm-hmm. sure that they're not misaligned you know, too far out of reach.
And don't assume,
but
communicate well. So I think part of our summary would be to have great expectations within your marital relationship or your relationship that you have is to communicate clearly. Align your expectations.
Yep.
And when you are misaligned, do a course correct it as peaceably as you can,
right.
using really good conflict resolution skills, mm-hmm. as healthy as possible. So our heart for you all out there as couples is to have to have this smooth communication with one another and to grow in it and give mm-hmm. grace when you are
right.
misaligned with one another. So,
right.
So there you go, folks.
Right.
It's time for our verse of the day.
It is time for our verse.
What is, and Teresa, I think you have the verse of the day.
I do have the verse of the day. And the verse is actually going to come out of Proverbs 24:14. And in looking up or thinking about expectations, this is kind of like where I was trying to find my verse to match along with it. So Proverbs 24:14 says, "Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off."
That's a good one. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. Hey, folks, we're really appreciative that you've spent time with us. And can we just challenge you to continue to invest in your marriage, be proactive investing in your marriage? We ask that you will, whatever platform that you're listening to, particularly if it's iTunes, if you would rate and review, mm-hmm. it makes a big difference for the algorithm in a positive way. And if you have another platform that you're listening, just however it means to give it a thumbs up, a like,
share
review.
Share it with others.
Share mm-hmm. it with as many people as possible. And once again, that's not to make David and Teresa famous, but to help as many couples as possible. That's our goal. Now, we want to continue to give an invitation. You can do this through our Facebook page or info@oneanothermarriage.org. Send your questions, your comments, your feedback, and we'd love to hear from you. Here soon, we're going to start a new segment of dealing with comments and questions, and we want to introduce that soon. And so if you give us that information, we'll get rolling with it. So, hey, have a great week, and we're so glad that that you all have joined us, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.